Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Make Musings podcast, the podcast where we raise awareness about disabilities and different issues that affect mental health and the way they affect people in different ways. So today's episode, I am joined by my guests, a couple who are based in Long Island. They have been together for quite some time and they've got this lovely set of twins. But the juicy bit is that when the husband was in college and in university, I can't even speak, he had a situation where he found himself with an injury that affected him and damaged his spinal cord, and this is something that he's had to live with through the years, but they're still together, happily married. So I'm gonna leave them to introduce themselves. They are Anna and Ken Conkin. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm Ken Conkin. Sitting next to me is my wife Anna Conkin. And we didn't meet till long after I was injured. I had a spinal cord injury playing in an American football game in 1970. So that's over 50 years ago. And I didn't meet Anna till around 1999, or about 29 years after I was injured. But we fell in love and got married in 2003. And in 2005, we pursued in vitro fertilization, and through the miracle of science, Anna gave birth to triplets. We have three incredible sons. They're 19 years old now, and they're all going to three different universities right now. They just started their sophomore year in college.
Oh, that is brilliant. I was actually wondering about the kids and all. And I mean, how you found life together? It's amazing to see two of you married and happily married at that, because marriages these days are just like, it's like you're in and you're out, one way in, one way, the other way out. So what has life been like for you?
It's been an incredible ride. We've celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary this past June. And of course, we celebrated it with our triplets, who just bring us so much joy, we cannot begin to explain it. But just so your viewers know a little bit more about me, when I was injured in 1970, I became a quadriplegic, which I believe you call it a tetraplegic, which means I'm paralyzed over most of my body. I have a little bit of movement in my left arm, but nothing in my fingers or my wrist. And on the right side of my body, I can just shrug my shoulder a little. So I need help doing virtually everything. And Anna helps me every day with all of my activities and all of my needs, as well as when the boys were here raising our triplets. And she's just been absolutely incredible. And I could not be happier than to be spending my life with Anna.
Oh, thank you so much. So, Anna, you've been quiet. So how has this journey been for you? I mean, with Ken being injured and having no movement in almost every part of his body, how has that journey been for you, helping him through the days with all his daily living activities?
Busy.
I suppose.
Family busy, right? I don't know. Just sometimes you fall for somebody. Sometimes a good person, sometimes a bad person. When you're lucky, it's a good person. So everything is here based on trust. Okay, so the trust part is very important in any relationship. Ken is the person I really trust, and hopefully it's mature. It's coming back to me too. I mean, you trust me. And once you have that in a relationship, everything seems to be easier or just easy. All the obstacles you think you have, usually you say, well, it could be worse or something like that. So, but there is just so much joy we have around us, not only kids. Of course, this is the most important part of it, but everybody I met since the beginning of our relationship, since I met Ken, were so supportive of Ken, helping him in any way he needed to. And they were also helping me when I need that as well, either physical support or any other way. So I knew that I could count on everybody in his family or my family. I remember when we got engaged, my parents, the biggest worry was that they are far away in Europe. So good few.
I thought you were saying the European accent.
Right. I'm from Poland originally.
Oh.
So they were very worried that they will not be able to help me if something happens to me here or I need some help. That was their biggest worry, right? And I told them always, I will have help from Ken's part of the family, which is not very common, to be honest, okay? If I need my mom, for example, to come to help us with kids on the very beginning, when they were just kind of fresh from hospital, she came, stayed with us 3 months, for example. She was always kind of phone call away. I mean, within a week, she was here.
Yeah.
So there was like a one or two that kind of situation after. The fact that we can count on everybody around us, it's very helpful. But in general, we try to kind of be self-sufficient. And that's how we go. I mean, it's not easy. As I said, it's very busy, right? So we just have to organize, at least from on my part, organize every minute of the day to be able to fit in everything what we're supposed to do every day of the week or month or year, to be able to that our boys can do whatever they're supposed to, go to school, do all the activities and things like that. And for Ken, of course, to get to office and to do whatever he's supposed to be doing there. That's it. And I have to, of course, keep myself in good shape to be able to do all of that as well.
Thank you so much. I mean, I know it's quite a lot of things going on, because you have to keep well mentally, you have to keep well physically, you have to keep well emotionally to be able to be available for him. But Ken, what you remember about this injury?
Well, I got hurt.
Such a long time ago.
I remember it very well. I got hurt in American football making what's called a tackle on a kickoff play, which is the most dangerous play in football. And as soon as I tackled the ball carrier, I felt like an electric shock shoot through my body, and sort of like a stinging numbness resulted in it for quite a while. And immediately I lost all movement below my shoulders and spent the next 9 months and 20 days in various hospitals and rehabilitation centers. And after my injury, they gave me very little hope of ever leading a useful, productive, or rewarding life.
Is that from the hospitals or from the university?
No, it was from the hospital and the medical personnel.
Yeah.
They didn't think that somebody in my condition was going to be able to later do much of anything professionally. And in fact, I once read in one of their brochures that they thought somebody injured at the level I'm injured in the spinal cord, maybe someday I could sell magazine subscriptions over the telephone. And that seemed to be the best they thought I would ever be able to do. I was convinced I could do more than that.
Brilliant. I think you've done well so far, going through all of that and still being active. You are relatively active, so to say. But I know you're not physically as active as you would be. Mentally, you are active. You're doing a lot of things. So the help you got from the university at that time, was there any help at all?
Well, what I did was I returned to college less than 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital. And while I was at school, I had a personal care attendant helping me, and of course, help from my fellow classmates. And during the next 2 years that I was back at Cornell University, which is the college I went to before I was injured, I completed my junior and senior year in college and was able to graduate during those next 2 years. So I became the first quadriplegic ever to graduate from Cornell University. And when I did that, I was majoring in industrial engineering. And at the time, the school was very inaccessible. It was on a very hilly terrain, and just about every one of its buildings had stairs in front of it. And there was not one ramp or curb cut on the entire campus. But with a lot of help from my classmates and attendants, I was able to complete my undergraduate degree. And then I stayed there for a graduate degree in counseling and student personnel administration, where I became
the first. What was that journey like for you, going through university with all these staircases that you mentioned? How did you navigate that?
It was really difficult. Obviously, I couldn't use my electric wheelchair there, only a manual wheelchair. And as I said, I had to rely on my personal care attendant and fellow students to basically lift or pull my wheelchair up and down the steps.
Wow.
And it was really, really difficult when you consider what a difference it made when ramps were finally installed.
Yeah. And how long did it take them to install that ramp? Because I mean,
well,
I think,
you know, the first ramp that they basically put in for me was to my dorm where I was living. That had 10 steps just to get in and out of my building. And they didn't do that until my second semester back there. So that was more than 3 months after I went back to school. So it took quite a while. Now, thanks to what's called the Americans with Disabilities Act, there are ramps and curb cuts throughout the whole campus.
Yeah. Can you tell me what happened that they actually did install that ramp?
You know, when I first went up there, I asked if they could at least put in a ramp to my dorm, so I wouldn't have to go up those 10 steps each day for each time I was going in and out of the building. And initially they said no, because they said in order to put in a ramp there, they'd have to remove 2 bushes. And they were concerned students might protest if they removed the bushes. Now, I knew the students wouldn't protest because
the students are there to help you as well.
And they would have done anything to help me, those students. But what happened is my second semester back at school, they had a fire drill. Now, of course, when you have a fire drill, everybody must evacuate the building. And the next day, one of the administrators asked me how I managed during the drill. And I told him that, you know, while I was able to get out by my aide bouncing me down the 10 steps, I felt really bad because I know I slowed up the other students who were exiting the building. And within 2 weeks, they installed the ramp. And while that was clear to me, they put it in for the other students' safety rather than for my convenience. That was still fine with me. At least now I had a ramp to use. And by the way, not one student complained about removing the bushes. In fact, many preferred using the ramp to going up and down the steps.
Yeah, because I mean, I can imagine you having to push your manual wheelchair up the stairs. That's not something that is going to be easy, even with help from other people. That's not easy at all, even going down.
I don't have enough movement in my arms to even help at all with the wheelchair. So I needed total help for people to pull the chair up the steps or help it go down the steps. They had to help me doing everything.
Yeah. Question, Ken, to help you. What did you think about, let's say, after first day of those classes and all those steps and stuff? What did you think? Did you think giving up, for example?
Just to give you an idea what my first day of classes was like, just to attend my first day, I had to be pulled up or bounced down close to 100 steps. And I remember lying in bed after that thinking I must be crazy to be back at Cornell and trying to do this. I didn't have another plan. I didn't have a plan B. You know, all I knew was I decided I'd go back to school and continue my education. So I lied in bed and said, I just have to make the best of it. And with a lot of help, I was able to finish my undergraduate and a graduate degree there as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
From the history, whatever I find out later, there were so many people counting on Ken and his success. I think that you would feel very bad if you just gave up, right? You just did that for all the family and friends who were counting on you.
I had a lot of people supporting me
Yeah.
Yeah.
and rooting for me and trying to help and
Exactly.
encourage me.
Yeah,
I
it was.
can imagine the whole school, the student community coming together. And I mean, you said yourself that only one student protested from them cutting the
No,
bushes.
no one protested.
No one
Not
protested.
one student protested.
Not one. Oh, I thought you said
No,
one.
the administration was concerned that students may protest if they
Yeah,
remove.
but no one
Not
eventually
one
did.
protested. They
Oh.
all were very supportive.
Yeah, that's
Wanted to
brilliant. I
help.
think that's a good way to have a great student community, support from friends, from support from your classmates, and I mean
Absolutely.
everybody coming around to, I mean, because they know your story. You weren't always like
Absolutely.
that.
They
You
wanted to
weren't
hang
always
in there.
reliant on
No.
anybody.
They wanted to help me, so not one student protest.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And what's been the most difficult thing for you to navigate in all of that situation? Is it the mental health aspect? Is it the physical aspect? Or is it even the educational aspect? Because, you know, after you've left everything and you get to your university or to your classroom, you will be exhausted. Which part of it did you find most difficult to
Oh,
navigate?
I mean, it was a little bit of everything. I mean, physically, it was exhausting just trying to get through the day. But mentally as well, it was difficult absorbing the material when I'm not able to write or take notes. Eventually, I relied on other classmates' notes to help me. But I might add that what I did in my life is after getting a graduate degree from Cornell, I then continued my education and got a graduate degree from Columbia University. And then I went looking for a job. And here I had two graduate degrees, as well as an undergraduate degree from some of the finest schools in America. And no one would hire me. Everyone seemed to feel that I was just too disabled to work. And I looked for a job for a year. I was even turned down when I offered to volunteer my services. But eventually I found one organization willing to give me a chance to show what I could do. That organization was Abilities Incorporated, which was part of what was then called the Human Resources Center. It's now called the Viscardi Center after Dr. Henry Viscardi Jr., the founder of the center. And they were geared towards providing education and employment services to people with disabilities. And they're a phenomenal organization here on Long Island. And I've been so fortunate to be involved with them. They gave me my opportunity to start, and I've since become a member of their board of directors, which I'm thrilled to be a part of.
Oh, that's brilliant. You are a member of the board right now. Are you still part of the board?
I'm still a member of the board of directors. Ever since 2009, I've been on the board of directors first of Abilities Inc. And in 2017, on the board for the whole Viscardi Center. But I might add that I left working at the Viscardi Center after working there for a little over 2 years to go to law school. So I then went from there to Hofstra University's law school on Long Island. And then I went to work for the district attorney's office there, where I worked for more than 40 years. So I'm relatively recently retired now.
Wow, that's such an amazing story. I will come back to you in a second. I don't want Anna to feel left out. So tell me, Anna, how did you meet Ken and what attracted you to him?
Well, that's actually that Ken should tell the story because you put the ad help wanted in the newspaper, right?
Well, I was looking for an assistant, an attendant, a personal care aide to help me on weekends. I had someone helping me during the week, and I needed somebody helping me on the weekends. And I found that I got a lot of positive response from the Polish Daily News that was published here in America. So I put an ad in the Polish Daily News, and Anna responded to it. And I was so fortunate that she did. We've been together ever since. And
Oh,
that's
so it was a story of you finding her attractive after she came to work with you, and one thing led to the other.
That's a good way of describing it. That's right.
I love that. I like romance, you know. So, what has life been married to Ken?
Well, let's put this way, the marriage part wasn't so sure from the beginning because you didn't even think about getting married or have children or a family or anything like that. You were just, I'm not going to ever get married. That was his point of view or stand on the issue when we met, right? So sure, we kind of fell in love, but you never wanted to be married.
I didn't think that I would ever get married. I didn't think that...
Was it because of your disability?
Yes, because of my disability, I was hesitant that that would be unfair to the woman, right? To be limited to an extent because she was married to me. And I had a number of people, particularly my Aunt Betty, who's convincing me, that should be the woman's choice, not yours. You shouldn't make the decision for her. And if a woman loves you enough and knows what's involved, you should rely on her to make that decision. So I was convinced to leave myself more open to the possibility. And obviously, I then fell in love with Anna. And fortunately for me, she fell in love with me as well. And we decided to get married. And when we decided to get married, Anna went a step further and said that she would like to have my baby. Now, this really seemed impossible. At that time, I had been paralyzed for more than 30 years, and I was already in my 50s.
And I was going to ask that, what were things like in the bedroom? Does that impact anything going on?
You know, we knew that we needed help if Anna was going to get pregnant. So we looked into various options, including in vitro fertilization, and we decided to pursue it. And my first four attempts were not successful, but we were determined to make this happen. And fortunately, we persisted and continued. And on my fifth procedure, it was successful. And then Anna had to go through a lengthy round of procedures, hormone treatments, and daily visits to the doctor. Fortunately for us, Anna's procedure went well. And lo and behold, I was present in the delivery room when Anna gave birth to triplets. We had three incredible boys who are now 19 years old.
Oh, that is so nice to hear. And I really love the story, the way it's panned out for you. And now you say you are retired. What is the one thing or one lesson that you think people should know about how your life has been, how you've met Anna, and what's been happening in your life so far? All this, I mean, you've worked for 40 years. You've done other things in between. And even though you weren't able to get a job initially, the organization that gave you your first opportunity, you have become a board member there.
Correct. I was so fortunate to have a lot of support, help, and encouragement from people. And I think it's so important for anybody going through a situation such as mine, never to lose hope. Hope is just so important in everything you do. And with the right help and encouragement and support, there's an awful lot you can do to achieve. Now, I've been encouraged over the years to share my story with other people. And as a result, I've done some motivational speaking at many different areas in front of different groups. And I was encouraged to then write a book about my experiences. So within the last year, with Anna's help, we wrote a book about my life. It's called I Dream of Things That Never Were, The Ken Kunkin Story. And that's been out now for 10 months.
How has the book gone? And what's been, what are the three things that you think readers would gain from reading the book?
Well, a number of things. One, how important it is to have that help and support from family members and friends. Two, how the medical profession and the teaching profession need to keep their expectations high for people with disabilities, because there's an awful lot people can still do and accomplish with the right help and support. And it's important for everybody to keep their expectations high, not only for the people going through whatever adversity they're going through, but for the person, him or herself, to keep their expectations high. But in addition, never to rule out getting happiness in your personal life as well. That's so important for everyone. And I've been so fortunate to have found happiness and success in my personal life as well as my professional life.
Sorry. So where can listeners find the book?
Well, in America, it's being sold on Amazon. And once again, the book is called I Dream of Things That Never Were, The Ken Kunkin Story. It's
Yeah.
published by a company called 12 Tables Press. And if anybody would like to go to my website, which is kenkunkin.com, I indicate on the website where they can buy the book as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's been an amazing story to share. And I am so honored to be able to share some of this story. I mean, because there's so much going on in between that we have not even been able to talk about right now, because we're trying to keep this brief and interesting. But is there anything that you wish I could have asked you, and what would have been your answer?
Well, I think what sticks out in my mind is what it's like to be a parent, a husband and a parent, when you're in a condition such as mine.
Oh, brilliant.
You have the support and love from your wife and your children, and strive to be the best husband and parent you could be. And as with anybody, whether they have a disability or not, it takes work, it takes communication. It takes a lot of love and understanding, and it's the most rewarding thing anybody can ever experience.
Oh, thank you so much. And over to you, Anna. Same question. Is there any question that you think I should have asked that I have not asked, and what would have been your answer?
Well, the question is one thing, but the message from whatever Ken is doing with his book right now is that Ken is not the only one example of a person with disability who has happened to have a disability, who is actively participating in society by working or being a family member like that. So we know a lot of people here who held her jobs 9 to 5, having very serious disabilities as well. They are having very serious positions. They are judges, they are CEOs of big companies, and they also have families. Okay, so this is not one-off. It should not be one-off. Even if we hear in front of you as a example of maybe something amazing, this is not, as I said, one example. There is plenty of that kind of people or couple living here, at least on this side of the ocean.
Of course, everywhere.
So we are everywhere.
If I might just add, one thing that I know was important to me, and I know is important to so many other people dealing with disabilities, is that we were just looking for the opportunity to show what we can do. And for people to give us that opportunity, they'll be amazed at the benefits they receive as well as we receive from them.
Amazing. Yes, of course. I mean, everybody needs an opportunity. There's no way you can actually show what skills you've got. And for you to have been able to work for 40 years with a disability that has been in, I mean, has been ongoing for the better part of your life now, it's amazing. And
Thank you.
you are doing something great.
I just want to add that I was not only working at the district attorney's office, I was promoted a number of times until I became a supervisor, where I was helping supervise more than 25 other assistant district attorneys. So somebody with a disability can do an awful lot
Yeah.
and the chance to show
Given
that.
the chance, yes. So it's just fair to
Okay.
say, give us the chance to be amazing, to show, to shine, to prove what we are worth.
Yes, of course. Just one thing. Last December, DA's office established an award for exemplary ADA worker in this particular DA's office. And they named it after Ken. Kenneth
Oh.
Kunkin
The Ken Kunkel Award they give out every year now.
Now it's going to be. So, you know, it's kind of good.
Oh, that is so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I wouldn't.
I guess they appreciate him. You know.
I mean, you must have made an impression on them for them to name an award after you. Ken Kunkel Award.
Although, I have to say that there were some awards like that beforehand, but I was joking a few years ago when that happened. You know, I thought, and I told this to you, maybe they thought that Ken already dead, and you know, they do that posthumously kind of thing and honor his name. But I'm just joking here. But that was
so. What is this award for?
They're giving an award now every year in the district attorney's office for what they consider the outstanding assistant district attorney that year. And they've named it after me.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sure we will have to come back and share the stories in between you having that injury and your work life and everything, because there's so much on that needs to be shared.
Thank you. It would be our pleasure.
It's been a pleasure and honored to share this part that you've opened up to me. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And this podcast will be broadcast on all podcast platforms. We are on social media, Apple, LinkedIn, Spotify, everywhere that you listen to your podcast. So please subscribe to us and also share with your friends and family. And thank you so much again. And God bless you.
Thank you.
A big thank you to all our listeners who have been sending us messages through the message link. I would like to thank everyone who has listened in so far and contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done anything without you. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep downloading, and keep liking. Thank you again.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.